What do you say after an introduction like that? It just reminds me of one prayer that I've heard, that, "Dear God, please may I become the kind of person that my cat thinks I am." So we'll sing this song we were singing last night. Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. How many devotees were at the program last night? Raise your hand. Okay, so you remember how we did that. We did it in the same raga, which was called Kalavati, which is this time of day. And it's a raga for Srimati Radharani. It's a raga for Marissa. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathata Brajabala Bhupahima Panchakalpada Rubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vyayivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So again, how many devotees were with us last night? Raise your hand, please. Okay. Most everybody, but we'll give a little, touch a little something back on it. First, I'd just like to comment again, just how wonderful it is to be in such a sangha of devotees. You know, it's said that Name Prasvatito Hai Rupa Guna Karma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes this in his Harinam Chintamani, that when you start chanting the holy name, something happens. From that name, Name Prasutitohoi, Rup, Krishna's form comes from that chanting. And I've seen this in this community very strongly, and I think you'll have to agree with me. Because of your chanting, your japa, and your kirtan with sincerity, what is manifested for you? Sri Sri Radha Kala Chanchi. That's the heart of the devotees. And whether Radha Kala Chanchi were here long before you came, that's not the point. The point is that by your chanting, you're able to appreciate Radha Kala Chanchi. They appear before you. Name Prasvati Doi Rupa Guna Karma. Everything comes from the holy name. And we see when the devotees have some desire to serve Krishna, then Krishna manifests a form by which we can serve him. It's a very, very wonderful thing. So yesterday we began to describe something about the pastime of Govardhan Dharana Leela and how Krishna held up Govardhan Hill and some purports to this which are very relevant to us. Because Govardhan Dharana Leela is all about community. There are two pastimes in Braj, only two pastimes, which all the Brijbasis were present at. But of those two pastimes, one of them wasn't such a sweet thing. In fact, so much so that Narad Muni, when he describes this pastime in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says, I don't like to speak about this. It's going to cause pain to everyone's heart. That pastime is Kaliya Damana Leela, when Krishna subdued Kaliya. Very wonderful pastime also. And we also like to give some katha for sometimes a week or two about that topic. But at that time, all the residents of Vrindavan, they came there to the bank of the Jamuna to see Krishna. Everyone was all together at the same time. But it wasn't in a very positive, happy kind of way, because they saw Krishna in the coils of Kaliya. Sanatana Goswami says that Kaliya was biting him. It was blood coming from his chest. Even Mother Yashoda, some of the boys came to see her, and they told her, Ma, we don't know how to say this, but we think that Krishna's dead. We saw him disappearing under the water in the coils of Kaliya, and there was so much blood and things. It was very, very terrible. So that's one such pastime. But a second pastime is a pastime of Govardhan Dharana Leela, when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and all the residents of Vrindavan came together. This is community. This is a very, very important lesson that we learn from this pastime in Braj. Now, before I go any further, I'd like to ask a question. How many children do we have here, for adults, it's okay, who are 7 years old? Please raise your hand. You can be the seven-year-old adult also. Would you? Okay. We have two right in front. Very good. We need your help today. You're 7 years old? Yes? Okay, very good. I thought you were more like 15 or something. You're fooling. So, this is a very wonderful pastime in Krishna Leela. Krishna was 7 years old, and we were speaking yesterday how Krishna, although he was a seven-year-old boy, he wasn't just engaged in playing all day long like you. But he was actually doing something. He was taking care of the cows, and he had a very good feeling about himself because he's doing something to help his Baba, his father, and he loves the cows. So one such day, Krishna returned home in the evening to Vrindavan with all the cows, and he saw that everybody was very, very busy collecting different foodstuffs and firewood and ghee and so many things. And Krishna said, Baba, what's going on? Please tell me. And Nanda Maharaj said, we're performing a sacrifice. And Krishna asked him, well, who is the sacrifice for? What is the purpose of the sacrifice? Is it a Vedic sacrifice? And Nanda Maharaj just looked at him. And he thought, he's a little boy. Why, what can we say to him? They treat you like that sometimes? Yeah, it's not good, is it? So Krishna was feeling a little. And Krishna told him, Baba, saintly persons, they don't keep secrets. They're very, especially with their family members. You should tell your father like this also. Don't keep any secrets from me. Huh? Tell me the truth. Is this a Vedic sacrifice? What is this? And then I said, well, it's like a Vedic sacrifice. It's not exactly Vedic, but because it's gone on for so long, for so many generations, and our family here in Vrindavan, we consider it to be Vedic. As we mentioned the other day, we see in India so many sacrifices, like they're not exactly Vedic, but because they've been going on a long time, some tradition in the family, in the community, people consider them to be practically Vedic. So, Krishna, he asked his father, who is this for? Nanda Maharaj told him that this is for Indra. Don't you know who Indra is? You know who Indra is?
Yeah.
Who's Indra?
The god of rain.
The god of rain, okay. And he's known as Devaraj. What does Devaraj mean? What does Deva mean?
God.
Okay, very good. It means gods. And what does Raj mean?
King.
King. Okay, so he's the king of all the demigods. He's a big man. He's a very, very important person. And Nanda Maharaj said that if we don't do this sacrifice, it won't rain. And we're dependent on rain because we're Wallace. We're cowherd people. We take care of the cows. And the cows are dependent on rain to grow the grass. Otherwise, the cows can't eat anything, they won't give any milk, we can't have any ghee, we can't have any paneer. You like paneer, right? Mm-hmm. You like ice cream, right? It's very important. Do you ever think about grass? Grass is very important. Mm-hmm. We don't think about grass very often, do we? But grass is such an important thing. Without grass, you couldn't have ice cream.
Oh my God.
Yes. It's dependent on that. In a similar way, sometimes we don't think about the holy name. This is a common thing. It's like we don't think about grass. How many of you today thought, wow, it's really a good thing there's air? Anybody think, you thought that's a good, well, it's very nice. No? How many of you thought, wow, sunshine's really important? We don't think about those things. In general, we just kind of take them for granted. And sometimes we take the holy name for granted also. It's just kind of there. But what's really important is to do mudras. And chant mantras, Nishinga Kavacha, this and that. That's really high tech. And chanting Hare Krishna, that's okay, but that's like for lower class devotees. We tend to think like that sometimes. We neglect things which are very, very essential. So Nanda Maharaj was saying, I guess, he said that, Lala, it's very, very important. We're dependent on the rain. We're Gwalas. Indra has to give us this rain, otherwise we're going to have big problems. So when Krishna heard Nanda Maharaj's explanation, as we described yesterday, he became a little unhappy in his heart because he thought, this Indra is turning out to be such a rascal. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It can be a little philosophical sometimes, is that okay? The verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Jiva Goswami says is the Charma Shloka, the Mahavakya, most important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that verse? How does it begin? Does anybody know? Eti Chamsa Kalapumsa Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Out of all the different incarnations, Krishna is the source of all. And how does the next line go? Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. And Krishna comes again and again to protect Indra. Indra's not a small-time person. Krishna personally comes to protect him. And this alone, because you all know what's going to happen this past time, Indra behaves in a very bad way. You know, yes. But Indra, he's very important. And from this past time, we can also understand how much importance Krishna gives to respecting authorities. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter of the Gita, Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says that one should not even give a verbal challenge to superiors. You shouldn't even say one bad word to your mother. Right? Right? You never do that, do you? Never. Okay. He says he never ever does that. Never ever talks back to his mother. Why is your nose growing longer? We shouldn't ever disrespect some superior persons. But what do you do when those superior persons act like a badmash, like a big rascal, like Indra? Boat badmash, very, very bad. So Krishna was thinking to himself, this Indra, he's becoming so proud, he's becoming so fat. He thinks he's such a big person because I made him the temple president of the universe. He's in charge of everything. And because of that, he thinks he's really something now. But actually, these Brijbasis, these coward people of Vrindavan, they're millions and millions of times greater than this stupid Indra. Okay, we gave him some administrative post. And it's good, and people should respect him, that's important. But now he's demanding respect from my family members, from my father, Nanda Maharaj, my mother, Yashoda, my uncle, Upananda, Sunanda, Sananda. He's demanding respect from the Brijbasi people who are so much more exalted than him. This is very, very bad. And Krishna decided we have to do something to curb his pride. Because Krishna is so kind, he doesn't like to see pride in his devotees. If he sees that a devotee has become very, very proud, then Krishna will do something to make that devotee become humble. And that's Krishna's great mercy. Because if we act with great pride, we can't advance properly in bhakti. So Krishna decided that he would say something to Nanda Maharaj that would make Indra very, very unhappy, very, very angry. And Krishna, he said, Bapa, he said, if you say that Indra makes it rain, what's the big deal? It rains everywhere. It rains in the ocean. Does the ocean need rain? There's so much water there. But he makes it rain in the ocean. He makes it rain sometimes on the rocks of the desert. No one's growing any food there. What's the necessity of that? We see that rain falls all over the place. Is the rain coming because of Indra? He said, Bapa, no. I don't think it's coming from Indra. It has nothing to do with Indra. He said, Father, we should worship the things that support our work. And he began to speak a kind of strange philosophy to Nanda Maharaj, that we should worship work. And this is also very popular today, especially in India. I see Gandhi put forward this idea very strongly. But it's actually a kind of atheistic idea, ultimately. Krishna is being very tricky in the way he words things. Because ultimately, everything is dependent on Krishna. He's the source of everything. He's Sarva Karna Karnam. He gives everything, not this Indra. So Nanda Maharaj said, but Lala, when performing yajnas, there has to be some devata to accept the offering. So then Krishna told him, Bapa, we're gwalas. We're coward people. We should worship Govardhan Hill. Because Govardhan, he gives us everything. We should worship Giriraj. We should worship the cows, and we should worship the Brahmins. Giriraj, he'll be our big, big devata. Bapa, I would like this puja very, very much. This will make me very, very happy. So then Nanda Maharaj, he said, Krishna, we've never done worship like this before. What kind of mantra should we chant? And then Krishna gave his father a mantra. Namo Vrindavanam Gaya Tubhyam Goloka Molane Purna Brahmata Patraya Namo Govardhanaya Cha Namo Govardhanaya Cha Namo Govardhanaya Cha Namo Vrindavanam Gaya Tubhyam Goloka Molane Purna Brahmata Patraya Namo Govardhanaya Cha. He says that Namo Vrindavanam Gaya, that Giriraj is like the lap of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is on the lap of Giriraj. Premi Sagiridhasa Vrindavan Vrindavan Namo Vrindavan Ankaya Tubhyam Goloka Molame. The Giriraj is a decoration of Goloka Vrindavan. Parna Brahmata Patraya. He is the complete last limit of Brahman, of transcendence. Namo Govardhanaya Cha. I offer my obeisances to Giriraj. Nandamura said, okay, what else should we do? He said, Father, we should cook huge amounts of foodstuffs. Mountains of rice. We should bring all kinds of sabjis and dals and cakes and pies and candies and sweets and things. We should decorate Govardhan Hill with flags, festoons, and all kinds of different things. And we should do a fire sacrifice for Giriraj. And we should worship the cows and the Brahmins. And then, Father, very important, we should feed everyone. That's a very important part of the program, yes? A few years ago, we were in Jagannath Puri for Kartik or somewhere else quite often. But that year, we were in Govardhan Jagannath Puri for Kartik. And we were with Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj and a few hundred of his disciples. He had a retreat for them. And so for Govardhan Puja, we cooked so many preparations. We had a big feast for Giriraj and sacrifice and things. And then I told everybody, I said, okay, now we're going to do some Hare Krishna guerrilla warfare. Okay? And we're going to give everybody 10 minutes in this huge amount of prasadam, which would pretty much fill this entire room right here. And so we're going to give everybody 10 minutes, and you have to distribute all this prasadam. I want everybody to run out on the street and give to every cow, every dog, every cat, every Brahmin, every person. And the devotees became ecstatic. And they ran. I saw the cows running away from them. Sometimes the devotees chasing after. No, just take some prasadam. So that's Govardhan Puja. And Krishna told the Nanda Maharaj and the Brijvasis, you feed everyone in Vrindavan. All the cows, all the Brahmins, all the cowherd people, all the dogs. But one person, don't give anything to him. Don't give anything to Indra. You feed the dogs, but don't feed Indra. It was very insulting. And so, when the day of Amavasya, the new moon day, came, all the residents of Braj, they observed Upavali. And the next day, on Pratipat, they observed the festival that Krishna described. And so first of all, they decorated all the peaks of Govardhan Hill with different colored flags and canopies and big banners and colorful decorations. And then they began to worship Giriraj. They offered Padya and Argya and Achaman, different things to Giriraj. And they began to play music, and they began to sing. And that singing was so joyous and so exuberant. The sound of their singing pervaded everywhere throughout Braj. And even if the sound ended up in the Swargalok, and Indra started getting an earache when he started hearing that sound. And he called for the Ashwini Kumaras, that's his personal doctors. Said, what is this? Why do I have this earache? And so the Ashwini Kumaras, they gave their diagnosis. They said, this particular sound that you're hearing, this is going to be the cause of a terrible earache for you. Okay. It's going to be just like sticking a javelin, a spear, in your ear. So, at that time, all the devatas, they began to shower flowers on Giriraj. And everyone was so very happy, except one person. Who was that? Indra was not happy about it at all. Indra was wondering, what's going on? The whole day's gone by. Where's my puja? Where's my offerings? Where are my cakes, huh? What's going on? That's what you think on your birthday, right? Where's the prasadam? Where's the cake for me? So Indra, he sent his spies. He has some wind spies. He sent them to Vrindavan to see what was going on. And the spies, they wandered around here and there, and they were listening to the talk of all the Brijvasis. Everyone was very excited and speaking. Did you hear what Krishna said? We're going to worship Govardhan Hill. Everyone was very, very excited about that. They were all saying, Giriraj Baba, he's a great devata. And Giriraj, he accepted everything. We offered Giriraj. All the residents of Vrindavan from all over Braj were running to Giriraj with every offering, everything they had in their house. They were offering huge piles of rice. They were offering lakes of sweet rice. You like to have a lake of sweet rice? That'd be pretty good. You can swim in it.
Yeah.
No? Okay. He offered so many things to Giriraj. And you know what Giriraj did? He just...
He
ate everything immediately. And then what did he say? Do you know what he said?
Thank you.
No, he didn't say thank you. He said, Anior, give me more. I want more. Just like you say sometimes, right? But not about sabji, only about sweets. I know. Giriraj ate everything, and everybody became a little afraid of what's going on. We've given him everything. So finally, then somebody brought one tulsi leaf, and they offered that to Giriraj. And then Giriraj said, oh, now I'm santosh, I'm satisfied. And then Giriraj gave everything back. Everything suddenly appeared there. And all the Brijbasis were so very wonderful, so happy. So they were talking amongst themselves. We did this festival. We offered everything to Giriraj. Giriraj accepted us and he gave everything back as prasadam. And Giriraj even talked to us and offered some blessings. We've been worshipping as Indra for so many generations. He's never come to speak to us. He's never showed up. And then what's the use of such worship? Now, from now on, we're going to worship Giriraj Baba. He's the greatest devata. So Indra's spies are listening to all this talk and they're thinking, these people have gone crazy. How can they forget Maharaj Indra, who is the king of the devatas? He was appointed to the position of Devaraj by Lord Brahma himself. How could these stupid, foolish village people stop his worship? So they were laughing at the simplicity of the villagers there. And they went back to Indra Lok. And Indra asked him, he said, so what's going on? Where's my puja? And he said, well, Maharaj, we don't know exactly how to tell you this, but they're not worshipping you. They have another person to worship. Who are they worshipping, Indra said? He said, well, to tell you the truth, Maharaj, they're worshipping a pile of rocks instead of you. Indra became very unhappy about that. How would you feel if on your birthday, your mother worshipped a pile of rocks instead of you? Gave all the presents. You'd feel happy. Okay, I hope your mother will remember that next year. We'll find out. Indra became very, very disturbed by this. What is this nonsense? They said, my lord, that all your offerings they offered to this pile of rocks, to this mountain, and aside from that, they were all complaining about you. They were saying this mountain is better than Indra. This pile of rocks is better than Indra. He loves us so much, and from now on, we're only going to worship him. Indra began to shake. He was so angry. His eyes turned bright red with anger. His lips were trembling. He said, just see the pride of these villagers. And this is the nature of people who are very proud. They think everybody else is proud. Sometimes you ever heard some devotees have an argument and one devotee tells the other devotee, look Prabhu, just be humble, okay? what kind of statement is that? He was thinking, just see how proud these people are. Under the influence of that talkative, ignorant, naive, 7-year-old child, they've dared to disobey me, to offend me. I am so powerful. Who can oppose me? Who can oppose me and survive? My glories are spread everywhere in all directions. And now, just because they have a few cows, these people have become so proud. They don't even have proper houses. You know? In the village anyway, I know in Giriraj, in Orissa, where my Guru Maharaj came from, the village, everyone has kacha houses. You know what a kacha house and a pakka house is? This is a pakka house. A kacha house is made out of mud. You should learn these words, kacha and pakka. Pakka means first class, very nice. also means ripe. If you go to buy some fruit in the market or something, kaccha means something not ripe, something not very good. So they had a super cyclone in, like, gosh, what was it, 1989, something like that. Excuse me, 1995, 96, something. And at that time, 1999, I think it was. And thousands of homes were destroyed all over Orissa, and everything was flooding. Practically the whole village of Gadagiri was destroyed. It's very interesting because Gorga Venumaraj's family deities, a Shishu Radha Gopalju, who had been in his family for about 400 years. And Gopal was originally being worshipped in Vrindavan. It's a long story. We wrote a book about Gopal. And he came in the dream, the devotee who was worshipping said, I want to go to Gadagiri and be worshipped by the Giri family, because their kirtan is so very, very nice. So he brought him all the way to Gadagiri, and Gopal's been there ever since. A long story. Many wonderful stories about Gopal. So, in about 1995, they donated that temple to ISKCON. It was just a mud hut. And Gorga Venumaraj, who grew up with Gopal, he decided we have to have a wonderful temple for Gopal. And they started building this big temple, and Gorga Venumaraj left in 96 before the temple was constructed. So the villages, many of them were criticizing. We have this phrase, Gramya Katha. You know what Gramya Katha means, literally. It means the katha, the talk of the villages, the gram. Because in the villages, people, they say so many things about other people. So they were complaining many times about the ISKCON temple. What is this? Why do you need such a big temple in the middle of nowhere? And then the super cyclone came. And all their kaccha houses, made out of mud, all of them were destroyed in the winds and the rain. And the villagers were, their lives were threatened. But everyone in the village survived. How? Because they went to the temple. And like Govardhan Hill, that temple was there, and they were all protected by Gopal. After that, they stopped complaining about the temple. So anyway, Indra was saying, what were these people anyway? They live in kaccha houses. Because in India, you don't know. Some of you are not from India. If you live in a kaccha house, you're like nothing. My grandmother was born in a kaccha house, in a very simple mud house, didn't have any electricity. You're considered like a low-class person. Then in Gadagiri, after the cyclone, everybody built paka houses, after that, out of bricks and cement, like something could survive the cyclone if it happened again. So Indra became so very, very unhappy. He said, these people, they don't even have proper homes. They live in the forest. But they dare to offend me. They're too proud. And Krishna, this talkative little boy, this seven-year-old boy, he's fanning the fire of their pride. And they've forgotten all about me. They've forgotten that I maintain them by giving rain. And they stopped their worship, my worship. Their intelligence has become very impure. So these people, they must be taught a lesson. He said, if somebody puts their hand in a fire, what can you do? Is it the fault of the fire? If you put your hand in the fire, should you get angry at the fire? Why did you burn me? Nonsense fire. Do you say that? It's not the fault of the fire. It's your fault, right? So Andrew was saying like that, I'm going to show them their mistake. He said, using my thunderbolts, I'm going to smash this mountain to pieces. I'm going to send this mountain that they're worshipping to the hellish planets. And those people who were dancing and dancing and singing, all of them are going to be destroyed. And I'm going to make this Nanda Maharaj witness all of it. In front of his eyes, all the people in his village are going to die. I'm going to destroy all of them. And after he sees that with his own eyes, then I'm going to kill him also. We'll see how much fun they have in worshipping this pile of rocks, this so-called big, big devata. They complain about me. They say there's no devata bigger than this hill. Well, I'll show them. I'll dig this whole mountain out, and I'm going to wash it to the ocean. There'll be such a flood, no one is going to survive. There'll be no trace left of the place. They've offended me, and I'm going to destroy them. So Indra then, he called for the Samvartika cloud. And what is that Samvartika cloud? Do you know?
He's a flood cloud.
He's a Vaishnava?
He's a very strong cloud.
A very, very strong cloud. The Samvartika cloud is that cloud which is used to destroy the universe. And Indra called that to be leashed on Braj. Sometimes we hear this pastime and we think, oh, this is very cute, this is a very sweet thing. It was raining hard. We think like that. It was more than just raining. The Samvartika cloud is more powerful than the combination of all the atomic weapons in the world today. Could you imagine that? Dropping all the atomic weapons in the world today on one small village. What would the effect be? But this is much, much more powerful. So Indra called the Samvartika cloud to come and destroy everything. At that time, Indra's ministers, they became very frightened. They thought maybe something very bad is going to happen. And Indra told them, you don't worry. These villagers, they're badmash, rascals. They've offended me. I've given them everything, but they've ignored me. You can destroy the whole universe. I just want you to destroy a very small region, Vrindavan. You go and destroy everything in Braj. And so, on Indra's orders, those clouds and the cloud devatas, they began to march very quickly to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, suddenly the wind began to blow so strongly. The branches of the trees began to break and people began to be frightened. And then suddenly, within a moment, first they saw a huge row of black clouds coming. And then suddenly the clouds covered the sky and everything became like nighttime. There was no light at all. And the women couldn't find their children. The cowherd men who were taking care of the cows, they couldn't see their cows. People didn't know where to go, what to do. They wanted to go back to their homes, but everything was shaking. The wind was blowing everything down. Everyone became very, very frightened. They couldn't tell which was high ground and which was low ground. And then the rain began to start. And it wasn't raining. We had a little bit of rain. That was nothing. They were raining. Drops are coming down like pillars. You can't imagine. There was hailstones. They're coming down like softballs, like this. And the bridge mossy bulls, they were getting hit by this hail. And they were getting very angry. Their eyes turned red. And they were looking at, who's doing this to me? The nature of the bulls. And all the Brijbasis, they were taking shelter, first of their homes and their courtyards, underneath banyan trees. They were doing whatever they could to avoid the rain and the flooding and the terrible winds. But that blast of the winds was tearing down trees and making terrifying sounds, like a great roar, like the destruction of the entire universe. At that time, terrified and weakened, all the Brijbasis, they came to Krishna. Because Krishna makes everyone happy. And they were full of pain and agony. They said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. O mighty one, Krishna. Pahimam, Pahimam. Save us, save us. Deliver us. You always give us protection. Now we're in great danger. The entire earth is going to be submerged from this flood. We can't distinguish low land or high land from each other. The Saravi cows, they're trying to protect their calves from the terrible stones or hailstones that are coming down. And the bulls are very angry saying all this. Krishna, we come to you. Please protect us. Please protect us. So, I think that this would be a good point for us to stop right now. And if you want to hear more about this, you have to stay tuned. And I'd like to sing a little something. Thank you. necessity of Krishna Katha? What is the necessity of Srimad Bhagavatam? After all, Shastra says, Hare Nama,
Hare Nama,
Hare Nama, Kevalam. It doesn't say Shastra Svadvaya, Shastra Svadvaya, Shastra Svadvaya, Kevalam. It doesn't say you have to read the books. It just says, just chant. The holy name is all that's required. So then why do we have Krishna Katha? Why do we have Srimad Bhagavatam? Did you ever think of this? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's commented on this in his commentary in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says that just as you can't separate Krishna from Srimati Radharani, so also you can't separate Krishna's name from Krishna Katha. The two go together. We have Krishna Katha to inspire us in Krishna Nam. We chant Krishna Nam to help us understand Krishna Katha in a deeper way. So we're having a little Krishna Katha tonight. And now we'd like to sing a raga, which is called Triveni Raga. Triveni is a place where the three rivers come together, the Saraswati, the Ganga, and the Jamuna. And it indicates a very strong appeal. And singing this raga, we can think of the Brij Vasis calling out to Krishna when the Indra is sending these terrible, terrible clouds. you call out like you're going to die. Like Indra's there with all these terrible rains. You can't find your children. You can't find your parents, your cows. Call out to Krishna together.
Krishna.
Hare Kalu Shani Jai Joke. So, I'd like to ask now if devotees have any reflections about the topics we discussed today. Would you? Just a second.
I was thinking about the pride. You were talking about the pride that Indra got, and so I was thinking that the pride is such a big enemy for us. For which actually we have come, we have separated from Krishna now because of our pride and our, we just thought of becoming the Lord. And the story exactly says the situation reflects on that. That Indra just for a moment forgot about the relationship with Krishna, and then he thought he became proud, thinking that about his position, and he thought that I am in a very high position, and how can they ignore me? And that gives us a very good lesson that in this pride of becoming Lord over anything, and just forgetting about Krishna is the biggest enemy of ours, and we have to be very careful about the pride that we carry.
I want to speak more about this subject about pride, and three different types of pride that Indra had, and different ways Krishna uses to destroy that pride. But it's a very significant point here if we contemplate on it. You see, Indra is a devotee. He's a devotee. He wants to do service for Krishna. And because of his desire to serve Krishna, Krishna has given him some position. And this is something that can happen to all of us. As we were speaking last night, community, Vaishnava community, means empowering others. It means a society free from envy. It means we want the children to do good. We want them to be better than us. We want to empower other people. But we should be careful. If we become empowered, if we get some position ourselves, that we don't start thinking, now, I'm not exactly a Jiva soul anymore. Now I'm the Sankirtan leader. Or I'm with this thing or that thing, and I'm better than everybody else. And then, Puna Mushika Bath, as he said in Bengali, again, you'll become a mouse. You'll lose everything. So it's a very, very important lesson from this. Thank you. Anything else from anybody? Reflections or anything?
Just on the same point, when you mentioned that although Indra was feeling proud, but he was saying, all the brothers were feeling so proud, they don't understand who am I. So I think we all are in the same boat also. We always find fault in others. I mean, they are not doing wrong, although we have all the faults.
Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Madhya Lila that he says, this is a direct quote, the qualification of a Vaishnava, well, that's when we hear those words, our ears should pick up. What is the qualification of a Vaishnava? The qualification of a Vaishnava is that he is a dosha darshi. He doesn't see fault in others. My Guru Maharaj added a little comment to that. He said, we should not see any fault in others. However, we should be sarva dosha darshi, see all the faults in ourselves. But we're so bad, we do just the opposite. We have 1,000 faults, we have 1,000,000 faults, but we see one little fault in somebody else. That Naina Sharanya, I saw him the other day. He was eating prasadam in the bathroom. A big scandal, very bad thing. How can... And meanwhile, I'm doing all complete nonsense, all terrible things, but we're complaining about some other person, very, very insignificant thing. This is the nature of envy. We become blind. Now, there's different types of blindness. One of them is to be dhammanda. One is dhammanda, you're blind from birth. Another is kamanda, someone is blind because of lust, a lusty person is a blind person. And the third type of blind person is Dambanda, someone who's blind because of pride. And this is what happened to Indra. He couldn't see, he couldn't understand who this little boy was. He thought he's a seven-year-old boy. He's just a talkative boy. What is he telling the bridge bossies? Don't worship me. And what is this pile of rocks? He was considering Giriraj. He was blind. Pride is a very, very dangerous thing. We'll speak more about that also. Would you? Actually, I never saw Nagashwara
anymore. It was actually yummy. So Prabhuji, I was thinking about this point, like how Nanda Maharaj actually surrendered to Krishna's appeal. And I thought that was like full faith, full surrender. And that was something, you know, a takeaway for me.
Yeah, I definitely have a comment about that. What is our purpose in bhakti? We can see here two different devotees. We can see Giriraj, who's a great devotee, and we can see Indra. What is the difference between them? One important difference is that Indra is just thinking about his position. He's a religionist. I've been given this position. You should follow rules. Rules means you should worship me. But Giriraj, he's thinking about Krishna. Giriraj is thinking about the cows. He's thinking about the coward people. He's thinking about others. And so this is the nature of pride. We can't think about other people. We only think about ourselves. I've tried to contemplate over the years, because this is what we should try to do. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, with Gurudev, we should be Anubhav. Not just Anukor, we say in Bengali, or imitation, just blind imitation of what Gurudev says and to do. But we should be Anubhav, following the mood. Which means we should be thinking, what is his desire? What does he like to do? And so I've been thinking for many years about Srila Prabhupada. And what was his mission? And I came to a conclusion that Srila Prabhupada gave four things which followed sequentially. Let me explain this to you and see if you agree or not. Prabhupada stressed love and trust. He said if you really love someone, you trust them. Right? We need to have a community. So community is based on love and trust. So then what is the symptom of trust? Your little boy says, Pita, do you trust me? Huh? Trust means responsibility. So I want the keys to the car. It'll happen. You wait and see, I'm sure. That day's going to come. Dad, will you give me the keys to the car? Huh? So now, that's responsibility. Now, responsibility is a two-way street. Trust is a two-way street. If you're acting like a budmash, like a rascal always, and you're not listening to your mother, I saw sometimes you're not listening to your mother, very bad, and you're not behaving in a nice way, why will he trust you? Why should he give you the keys to the car? Who knows what he's going to do? He's going to do some nonsense thing. We have to earn trust. So that love is there, we can't demand it, and we should earn that trust. When we earn that trust, we get responsibility. So love comes trust, from trust comes responsibility, and from when you get responsibility, something else happens. Empowerment. We become empowered. Just like Janaki Mataji, and Mukunda, and Shamasundar, and Mother Jamuna, these devotees, they went to England. They'd been devotees for a few months. They were barely following the regulated principles. Shamasundar Prabhu just got out of jail for selling drugs just a few weeks before that. They hadn't read the Srimad Bhagavatam. They read a few little parts of the first canto. They barely knew any philosophy or anything. But Prabhupada loved them. Prabhupada trusted them. They earned Prabhupada's trust. And Prabhupada gave them responsibility. And what did he do? He told them, go to London and start a preaching center. It was an unheard of thing. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati sent his biggest sannyasi disciples, the most learned, most expert persons, and they weren't able to do it. they had some dinner with some big people, had their photographs taken with them, and they came back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and said, Guru Maharaj, these people are very difficult. They can't follow regulated principles. They can't do anything. Big, big, big sannyasis. Prabhupada used to say about Hanuman and the monkeys when they were in Sri Lanka getting ready to jump. Big, big monkey, big, big belly, Ceylon jumping melancholy. Prabhupada would like to quote that poem. That all these big, big monkeys are standing around and talking, I can jump to Lanka, no problem. I can do the big, big monkey, big, big belly. But when Hanuman, Ceylon jumping, melancholy. They all become very, very sad at that point. Prabhupada would like that poem. So Prabhupada sent these brand new people who didn't practically know anything. They didn't even know how to put on tilak properly. They didn't know much. If you listen to Jamuna's Bhajahuremana, how she's singing, Prabhupada, when he listened to it, he started laughing. Somebody came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, she's not pronouncing it properly. And she's like, excuse me for saying this, but she was butchering it. So her pronunciation was so bad. But Prabhupada said, no, she's singing with devotion. Prabhupada didn't see the pronunciation. I mean, she's saying the wrong words. But Prabhupada appreciated her devotion. They're such simple devotees. So Prabhupada gave them the greatest responsibility, and they became so very, very empowered. And so I think this is a very beautiful lesson for all of us in our society today. We should learn love, trust, responsibility, empowerment with the children. Give them, but you have to earn it. Don't be a rascal. Don't behave in a nonsense way. Don't behave in a bad way with Guru Maharaj and with the temple authorities. Earn their trust. Be a good team member. Giriraj is a team member. Indra wants to be the star of the show. Like someone, you play basketball? No. You play football? No. What do you do? You play soccer. Well, that's what we call football in India. You're from America, so yeah. So what do you call someone in soccer who doesn't give the ball to anyone else? He just wants to be the star of the show, the flashy person. You're not very happy with him, are you? Well, that's like Indra. He just wants to keep the ball to himself. He's not a team member. He doesn't want to give that to other people. We should be team members. Doesn't mean we should be fools. Doesn't mean we should be stupid when some nonsense thing is going on. It's another topic. But we should practice these four things. Love, trust, responsibility, empowerment. Especially with our children and with the younger members of our society. I know old fossils like me. When you get very old, it means that you should give responsibility to younger people. Don't try to just hoard it for yourself. But give them some love and trust. And maybe they'll make mistakes. I tell you, not maybe, they definitely will make mistakes. But we should allow them that right to make some mistake, and they'll become empowered if we trust them like that. Okay? It's a nice comment. Thank you. Any other reflections or questions or anything from anyone? Okay? As we used to say, when we give lectures at our Sunday Feast program in Boulder, Colorado, I was in charge of the preaching center. Now for the part of our philosophy that's the easiest to digest. Krishna Mahaprasada Ke Prabhupada Ke Sri Bhaktivinoda Ke Premanande Hari
Hare Krishna. So just such a nice lecture. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
We don't want to stop Prabhuji. So just wanted to share a few things. So Prabhuji has been writing, researching many, 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 many books. This is the latest from Sri Krishna Kathamrita. He has spent 20 years researching this. We have just 24 copies, and the price is $15. And Prabhuji will sign it, bless us. And we have only 24, but you know, you can give your names to Dawji and Tai Prabhu, and we will do a full bulk shipment I know everybody, we need at least 200 here. So, you know, whoever wants, please give your names to Dauji Nitai Prabhu. Also, we have other magazines here as well. And these are all beautiful esoteric topics. Tomorrow's lecture is going to be on Mathura meets Vrindavan.
Just a quick thing. This tomorrow's talk at 10:45 is the best talk we're going to give for children. If any children want to hear, and also adults will like it very much, I think, from very nice stories. So please come for that, for kids.
So we have this book here. We just have one copy here. So this is just to show, you can, you know, take a look. And if you would like this book, you can again give your name to Dauji Nitai Prabhu and we will do a complete shipment.
So we don't have any copies for that, right? So
we don't have any copies. We just have one copy. Yes. Let's just take names right now and then we will do an order from India. Also, we have this very nice book, My Revered Spiritual Master. And this is all about Srila Prabhupada, just from His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj. So it's a very, very beautiful book. I highly encourage everybody to get one copy as well. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And Bhagavatam.
Also, you know, Prabhuji shared about, is Shastra important or just, you know, just have the holy name? But Shastra is very important, as Prabhuji said, they go hand in hand. And we are actually very, very happy to share that, you know, from 375, our price now is just 275. And Prabhuji has very kindly agreed to sign and also pray for everybody whoever takes these books. And we also have, you know, in our audience, Amrinder Prabhu, who has come all the way from Oklahoma City. So we are very, very happy. Hare Krishna.
So the last time, last month when Amrinder Prabhu came, so we distributed almost 30 sets of Chaitanya Charitamurti. And only by his talk, I mean...
Shocking man.
Yes. Arriba. I mean, he's one of the saviors of...
Also, one more thing. There is an e-magazine which comes every month. It's the Bindu magazine. And whoever wants subscription, they can go to Krishnapur Mataji, who is sitting just by the stairs. She can take down your emails, and then it's a free magazine which will come straight to your home. And please go and you can put your email down there. Hare Krishna.
Hare.